I'd ask that we focus this morning in the Gospel of Matthew and the 13th chapter. This is when Jesus now has really begun to teach and speak in the power of parables, those stories that illustrate the greater truths that Jesus embodies in the Gospels. And in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 and then the follow-up of that, verses 18 through 23. So again, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and verses 18 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." And pursuing at the 18th verse. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and, most importantly, discerning of God's word. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the power of these images. We thank you for the way in which Jesus not only spoke to those who were in his presence, but how his words even speak to us today. Help us to understand what it means when the seed of the rich and fullness of the gospel is shared, grows, and increases. Help us to understand our part in your kingdom work. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, this is where Jesus begins to speak in parables. He understands the value of a good story. For as much as I'd like to think, and as much as it would seem that high-minded and deeply profound theological treatises would be what would rest on our minds and rest in our hearts after a Sunday worship service or some other time, you and I both know that oftentimes the thing that most often really resonates that we remember is if I or in some fashion a story or a narrative gets told that we can relate to or that we can vividly imagine in our mind's eye, Oftentimes, that's what sits with us, and that's what helps us to understand the greater truths of the gospel. So that's why Jesus speaks in parables. That's why he's talking about the sower and the seed. That's why he'll talk about the good Samaritan. That's why he'll talk about the woman with the measure of oil in her lamp. That's why he will talk about the father whose son comes back after being in the wilderness. Because those stories help us to understand the rich truths of the gospel. And this story is one I suppose that many of us, we remember to some measure, to some degree. And it's valuable for a number of reasons, because the imagery is vivid, but also many of the people who were gathered listening as Jesus was in the boat and they were on the seashore listening to him, many of them could relate to the idea of what it meant to sow seed and wait for the harvest. Now, by way of full disclosure, I don't, now that we live in an apartment, I don't, quote, miss yard work, unquote. But I still find myself drawn to the concept of yard work. In other words, when a Home Depot commercial comes on and they're advertising some impressive piece of lawn equipment or whatever, I still kind of think a little bit about what it was like when it was important for me to have all that kind of equipment, and what it was like to take care of the lawn, and what it was like to do all those things that we equate with keeping a yard or keeping any kind of thing like that. Now, I said I like it in concept, but I don't necessarily really miss it in reality. But it's interesting, because when we hear this story, and it brings to mind what it means to sow seed, and more often than not, what we do is we focus on the way in which this story is told, and we hear about the rocky soil or the thorny soil or the barren soil, and then ultimately the good soil. And that's important, yes, because the parable helps us to understand that the seed, that the three failures, if you will, before success. And by the way, just let me tell you, 1 year we planted, or I should say, I planted some onions. And I was so proud of myself. And I planted the onions in the backyard. We had to kind of always figure out what would grow best, because we had a lot of large trees around our backyard. And so I planted these onions, and as spring went into early summer, they began to sprout, you know, green onions, and I was excited about that. Well, one afternoon I went out to the backyard, and I saw where the green onions that I had planted that had begun to sprout out, it looked as if though someone had come along with scissors and snipped off every single one of those onions. And I was beside myself. I was thinking, who dare to come into our backyard and vandalize my garden? Who would do something so dastardly? Who would do something so hurtful? And then I looked over in the far corner of the yard, and I saw the cutest little bunny rabbit that you could ever imagine. And I happened to notice that bunny rabbit had a sense, it looked at least to me like he had a sense of self-satisfaction, like he had maybe just had a good meal. And that meal happened to have been our onions. So I came to the realization that whenever you plant a crop, you have to realize that the possibility for it not coming to full fruition, whether it because of a rabbit or drought or adverse conditions, is always real. So this parable reflected reality for the people who were hearing it. So you had those three failures. You had the first of all, the seed that was thrown out and was exposed and able to be devoured by the birds. You had the seed that was thrown on the rocky ground and it was scorched by the sun because it had no roots. And then you had the seed sown among the thorns and it was choked. And then ultimately the seed that falls on good soil and brings forth grain, and some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So of course, if we realize that scattering seed, sowing seed, has risks involved, we might decide ourselves, well, is it really worth the risk? If I'm going to lose some of the seed to the birds, if I'm going to lose some of the seed to the scorching sun, if I'm going to lose some of it because it's choked out by the thistles, should I even bother at all? Should I even risk losing any of it? But the interesting thing about this parable, and while we do focus, as I said, about the particular soil conditions, if you will, but I think something that gets overlooked in this parable, and maybe it's the instruction for us, is that the sower, the person scattering the seed, seems to do it with a certain amount of reckless abandon. I guess what I mean by that is, going back to my Home Depot days, if I was about to do something related to the yard, if I was going to reseed the lawn or anything like that, I'd pay close attention to the directions and instructions that I needed to follow in order for me to have the biggest return on what I was doing. But it seems as if though this sower, and we have to look at this sower really being Jesus talking about himself, but it seems as if though this sower doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention to all of the different places that the seed falls. At least that's what it appears like. So I don't understand, when we hear this parable, how we can't make note of the fact that, yes, the soil is important, but the sower of the seed is throwing out that seed with, dare I say, abandon. Now, we often would say reckless abandon, but maybe there's another way to look at this. Maybe we understand the sower of that seed as sharing that seed. You know, the term that they use when you talk about sodding a lawn or whatever is broadcasting the seed. Meaning you push it out there as far as you can. And so maybe the sower of the seed is teaching us a lesson. And maybe that lesson is that if we are to model our own sowing of seed, the good news of the gospel, after the sower, that we ought to share the teachings of the gospel extravagantly, indiscriminately, and not judging which people and places are worthy of receiving them and which are not. Maybe we ought to have not a reckless abandon, but a reckless and joyful abandon about how we share the good news, and not be worried about whether or not it will take root, because that really ultimately is not our task. We leave that over to the God who is the God of the good news. So the sower is helping us to understand that this good news ought to go everywhere. You heard me make my protestation about singing the great hymns of the church. And you know why that is? I love praise choruses now. I love praise choruses, and they're wonderful. But the great hymns of the church remind us, they walk us theologically through the truths of the gospel, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people unto me. That kind of joyful abandon about this good news, meaning that we should not be limited in how we share it, in where we share it, in when we share it, and with whom we share it. People ought to make note of who you are, yes, Greenwood. They ought to make note of the deep roots of history. They ought to make note of who you are as a gathered body even right now. But I submit to you that maybe the most transformative thing that people should be able to make note of as we talk about seed taking root and seed flourishing is maybe they ought to make note of the measure of joy in which you share this good news that you lay claim to, that has transformed you and that is available to the world. Somebody said, you got to dance like nobody's watching. You have to love like you will never be hurt. Sing like there's nobody listening. And live like it's heaven on earth. And I submit to you this morning that I'm taking away from this story of the sower is that the sower is so invested in joyfully sharing the seed, the potential of the good news, that the sower is letting it fly wherever it might fly. How many of you, when you go to a wedding, nowadays they use bird seed, which is much more ecologically sound than using rice. But how many of you take joy in throwing that bird seed at that couple? It's a representation of the joy of the moment, and it's a high moment as they make their way out of the church. And in the same fashion, we ought to share this good news with whoever, wherever, whenever, and however God gives us the opportunity. And that means there's nobody, no circumstance, no place where it's not appropriate for your joy to be evident. And the good news, not a good news of judgment and exclusivity, no. The good news that mercy and justice coupled together mean the liberation of spirit. The good news that we serve a God who specializes in putting back together that which has been broken, either by external forces or even by our own internal hand. That's good news. And we don't have the right to be preoccupied with how that good news takes hold. Yes, some of it will fall on rocky soil. Some of it will fall on parched soil, and some of it will fall on thorny soil. But if we limit ourselves, if we hold back on how we share our joy or where we take our joy, then we don't give the good news that God has made real and full and complete in his Son and our Savior the opportunity to truly take hold and blossom and come forth in those places where it will. I don't know. There's some places that'll fool you. There's a tree called, and it's a wonderfully profound theological name, there's a tree called the everlasting. And the thing about it, and this is interesting because I guess technically, horticulturally, it would be considered a nuisance species. And you know why? Because it'll grow practically anywhere. You may be walking down the street and you'll see in the crack within the concrete something sprouting up. And everlasting can grow in that spot. You may find yourself looking up on a roof and see a gutter where a little bit of soil has accumulated and right there an everlasting might be able to grow up. You might find yourself looking out in the heap of refuse somewhere near or far and see some verdant greenery sprouting out of that refuse. An everlasting can grow out of that even as well. So how dare me decide where the transformative power of the gospel is going to take hold and take root? How dare I limit where I share that joy? So I'm going to be like that sower. I'm going to spread it everywhere. I thought by way of a sermon illustration this morning that I was going to bring a handful of seed and throw it out to you all, but Jose is certifiably the nicest person you will ever meet, and I would not want that to change based on my sermon illustration this morning. But at the same time, I want us to understand this morning, there's much to be drawn from this parable about the sower of the seed and the soil upon which it falls. But the thing I'd like us to take away from this morning is this: don't ever hesitate to share the good news And when I say share the good news, I think it's far more important to understand what it means to share the good news as it's embodied in the love that you exude, the compassion that you share, the justice that you advocate for. That's the good news. Don't let anyone cause you to limit. Greenwood, don't think by way of limitations. Oh, we're small. Oh, we're kind of quiet. Oh, we're not as big as some of the other storied Brooklyn congregations. But you have just as much right to share with just as much joy the power of a changing, life-giving gospel. And the thing I want you to remember is this, that when you spread that seed, and you cast it far and wide, there may be some places that look like the barren places. There may be some places that look like the thorny places. There may be some places that look like the dry places. But I'm here to tell you that God can do what God can do wherever God wants to do it. So go out of here this morning ready to share good news in joy. Ready to broadcast as far and as wide as God gives you the opportunity. The good news that we sing about, that we shout about, that we pray about, that we teach about, that we preach about. Good news that changes lives, that makes us whole and new again. So yes, when you leave out of here, understand here's your task. Take that seed, if you will, and joyfully broadcast it. Trust that God will be the one who allows it to fall into those places where it will prosper. And then finally, be ready. Most important thing about growing anything. Oh, yes, the planting is important and the tending is important. But you know what really gives you character in all that process? Is the waiting. Understanding that there comes a point at which it's not you. It's not what you can do. It's what God has placed in the equation. So joyfully share. Trust that God is in that measure of control. But then, be ready. Be ready to celebrate. Because I wager this, you might be walking down a particularly barren and bleak stretch of Brooklyn pavement. You might look up on the corner of a uniquely dilapidated building. You might look out upon a field of seemingly unreclaimable refuse. But look closely, and you just may see coming up out of the cracks, coming up on the edge of what otherwise people would see as discarded, coming up through what other people have cast off. You may see an everlasting. You may see the promise and prospect of the gospel. You may see hope springing up out of hopelessness, joy coming up out of sorrow, morning coming up out of midnight. Cast your seed. Let the church say amen.